75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Well, this is the last show of the year, and we barely made it, Larry. Welcome to the UFO sightings.
Yeah, it's we didn't make it for Christmas. We didn't deliver UFO stories from Santa Claus this year, but we certainly are going to have an end of year show here, and happy New Year to all of our listeners.
And we have lots of great plans for 2007. We advise people to check back on the spot regularly. Yes, we're going to endeavor to do a regular show once a week, or at least very close to that. During 2007, that's our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, well, let's hope we can keep it. We're going to try.
I mean, well, we're doing a lot of things, and people forgive us, but we're going to make an effort, and that's what counts. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. What's the weather like there in New Jersey and Oklahoma? It's been nice. Now, I know Jane Swartley, one of our producers and editors, they had a big snowstorm in Denver, and it's snowing again tonight.
Yeah, well, I saw on the news that they had a prediction of up to 18 inches in Denver itself.
Yeah, she lives in Boulder, but it's the same area.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah.
So the thing is Jane's going to be snowed in again, just like she was a week ago.
Now, it's been really warm where you are.
Relatively speaking, yeah. I mean, it was up around 50 degrees today, which is pretty mild for, you know, almost the beginning of the year here. Looks like another El Nino winter for us. Generally mild here, and we may not even get much snow. We haven't had any snow so far.
Well, we had one good snow that stayed on the ground for a while, but we've had pretty decent weather, really.
Mm-hmm.
You want to kick this show off by talking about some of the things that happened over the year, and then we'll get into the sightings? Does that sound like
a plan? That sounds like a good plan.
I know you've been looking over some of the things that we reported and that we didn't report, all the filers' files and other places.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to basically title this show tonight as being 2006, the year of disclosure. Because certainly that's what it's been. All of the major stories have been about disclosure, either the efforts of organizations or individuals coming forth with stories that we have covered this year.
You're right about that. We've had some interesting conversations with Dr. Greer and with Alfred Weber, Dr. Weber, and Dr. Sala, and Steve Bassett, and we could go on and on here about disclosure, officially
right. And
unofficially.
Yeah, well, there were a number of conferences held this past year. There was one up in Toronto, I think that was in May, which was a follow-on to the original conference that they had up there, where they had Dr. Paul Hellyer giving a presentation in the prior September 2005. So in, I believe, May, if I'm wrong, it's not going to make much difference much longer, but it was in the springtime, I know that.
I noticed where Fast Walkers widescreen premiere will be up in Toronto in March.
Right.
They had a big premiere. That's kind of a disclosure thing, too, in ways. It's really revealing in depth all of the different ideas of researchers and witnesses and experiencers. Very good production.
Right. Well, we can certainly offer you a deal if you're interested in buying this DVD. We have it available on our site.
Yeah, you can see the banners and click it on, or you can just go over to shopjerrypippin.com and order it as well. $19.95 plus shipping. And they had a big premiere out in Sholem. We have a show just posted this past week, in which we talked to quite a few experts and researchers and experiencers who showed up in Robert Miles, the producer's hometown.
Right.
For a big HD, high-definition, widescreen presentation. They got one coming up in Phoenix, too, by the way, in February.
Right, February 21st, I believe.
Yeah, that's a tentative date. It's subject to change. I think Sholo changed a couple of times.
Right. You just have to keep checking our site if you live in the Phoenix area. I think the Toronto date is pretty well fixed. But you can check our site periodically, and if you live in these metropolitan areas, and just make sure that the presentation date is still the same. And there might even be a surprise. There may be multiple showings if there's enough demand for the product.
Well, they showed it for a week in Sholem, so if it can play a week in Sholem, I'll be able to play a month in Phoenix.
At any rate, I was talking about various types of disclosure events that were held this past year, and I started off with the event up in Toronto where Paul Hellyer appeared with Dr. Stephen Greer, and they had an interesting presentation that involved also the revelation of some activities by the Canadian Air Force back in years past, and there were a few revelations in that area. And now, in the month of June, there was a great conference on disclosure and exopolitics that was held out in Hawaii on the Big Island. And that was sponsored by Dr. Michael Sala.
Yeah, he lives out there now on the Big Island.
Yes, he does.
And he signs his emails, aloha.
And unfortunately, he was very close to the epicenter of an earthquake that occurred back there in the fall on the Big Island. I think it was the very town that Michael lives
yes,
in.
Yes, it was. It was almost out his back door.
Some of the people who were there, Paula Harris, Alfred Weber, was there, and of course we've interviewed both of these people several times in this past year, and there's a show coming up with Alfred Weber on exopolitics that's all in Spanish.
Yeah, we have Alfred E. Weber is our next Meet the Icon, and that'll be coming up in January. And Farah did a companion piece in Spanish with Alfred. You may think it's strange, a Turkish woman and a Canadian resident doing a show in Spanish, but there's a story behind it. And the story simply is that Alfred E. Weber was born, or at least lived in Cuba early on, right?
He was born there, yeah.
And Farah teaches Spanish in the New Jersey, New York metropolitan area.
Right. Yeah, Farah's fluent in five different languages, and Spanish is one
and
of them.
And she spent Christmas and New Year's in her hometown of Istanbul. And she'll be back on January 4th.
Farah's got a big surprise for her, she tells us, coming up in 2007.
And she wouldn't tell us because she said, in the way Farah talks, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Right. But I do know that it, should prove to be quite interesting. It's something that, she's going to be very much involved with, and it's going to make a good story for us. And, you know, we have a lot of listeners in the New York City area, so they're really going to get they're going to get a lot of attention this year, I think.
Well, that's enough of a hint.
Sort of a hint, yeah. I can't be any more specific than that at this point. Now, speaking of Meet the Icons, and I think you have a few more of these shows planned for 2007.
Yes, we do.
What happened in 2006? So we interviewed Whitley Strieber on his new book, The Grays, and Farrah was also involved in that interview extensively.
Yeah, she's probably going to be involved in all the Meet the Icon shows, and basically, everybody's heard of Whitley Strieber. Many people listen to him. Everybody reads his books. Some people have seen his movies that he's written. But we really did quite a good little feature on him, I thought. He was happy with it, too.
Right.
And it's still available.
Right. It certainly is. I mean, all of our shows are available 24/7. And you can even take them with you on your MP3 player anywhere you want to go.
There have been some interesting things happen in 2006. I know you talked about conferences everything. We've had fun going to places and visiting people.
Why don't we start out with one of the first conferences that you went to in 2006, which was out in the middle of the desert in California?
Yeah, we had actually had the UFO Congress before that, but you're right. The first major conference, it's called a retro conference. We talked to Mr. X, a man who says that he... He was given the opportunity as a file clerk to file all this top secret information on UFOs.
Right.
And we had to disguise his voice. And we still get questions from Mr. X, and we still have a section over there in which he answers the questions by text.
Right.
So if you listen to that interview and you got some questions, talk to Mr. X about it. They may have another conference. The last time I talked to Barbara Harris, the promoter, they're planning on doing it again. But they haven't made an official announcement yet.
Right. Well, that was, certainly an example, one of several of interviews or programs that we've had on individual disclosure. In other words, insiders coming to the fore and telling us things about UFOs, ETs, government cover-ups, etc.
And we have several planned for 2007, so stay tuned.
So, some of the things that we covered in that respect is, of course, I think probably on the top of the list was our coverage of two different rather controversial subjects in the field of ufology. One was Dr. Dan Burrish and his story of how he was at Area 51 and had seen an ET and talked with him. And then there was the Serpo story.
And we had full coverage on both of those. And, Carrie... And Bill Ryan actually did a video interview of Dan Burrish, which we have. And
right.
I did some shows about it as well. I did a radio interview with his mother.
Right.
And guess what? She has a book coming out in January.
Ah, the book.
Yeah, Bodie Crane. And she's basically billing it as My Son Was a Scientist at Area 51.
Right. And she's going to give, what evidence she has.
Well, yeah, and we do have some her testimony on our series, The B-Files. People can listen to that, make their own mind up. We have another chapter of The B-Files coming up We'll be talking a little more of Doty too, so that's not dead by any means. And Burrish and company, they're still active. We still get letters from them, emails.
Right.
They wished us a Merry Christmas.
Right. And they have a video for sale as well, and there is a link on the B-Files page where you can order that video. And, you know, it's the first of several, I understand. And, you know, it's currently available. Go take a look. And, of course, you know, speaking of, you know, controversies, I think probably the biggest controversy this year, at least as far as we could see in our own involvement in it, was the Serpo story, where 12 astronauts purportedly were transported to Zeta Reticuli and one of the planets on Zeta Reticuli 2. That there were also four backup astronauts who didn't get to make the trip, and one of those is supposedly still alive, I think.
Yeah, he kind of flirts with coming public, hasn't really done it yet.
Right.
We've narrowed down to where he is in California, and we've done our best.
Yeah.
But we haven't got any more on that story.
Unfortunately, you know, that story sort of dead-ended, you know, is that there was information coming forth. There was a whole log, you know, sort of like Captain's Log from Star Trek, that was published out on the Serpo.org site.
Yeah, in one of our shows we read part of one of them, right, to give a flavor of what they're writing about. As I said to some people who were doubters about Serpo, I said, I think in an email to them, you know, so we had ETs visit us and have been here for some time, and we sent people there to another planet. What's there not to believe?
Right. Well, that's a good question. And, you know, speaking of believe it or not, is it there was an associated sort of a...
We still get emails about Serpo. I got one today.
Yes, yeah. I mean, people are still interested in the subject, that's for sure. And associated with that are because, you know, it's sort of peripheral connection. But still and again, the connection is there, whether it was intended or not, and that is, you know, the Aviary Group seemed to have knowledge of Serpo, and put it in a, you know, a small little piece, about two paragraphs long, appeared in Bob Collins's book, Exempt from Disclosure. Now, this is not a book about Serpo. It was a book about, you know, the activities of various components in the U.S. government, you know, to interact with ETs over the years. And, well, Serpo was supposedly part of that, but, you know, Bob really didn't have a lot to say about it. More he had to say about Hangar 18 and the activities in the underground vaults at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
And they gave Bob a nice little segment on the Hangar 18 special.
Right, on the History Channel, right.
I think that was in early November.
Right.
And, you know, we had a lot of fun with all these guys, and at the same time, the shows are very interesting. People need to listen to them if they haven't. A lot of people have heard all these shows,
right,
that we're talking about, and we have others planned. The interesting thing I noticed was that Bob Collins didn't send me a Christmas present, but Paul McGovern did. And no, I'm kidding. A little inside joke for Bob who's listening.
Well, speaking of you know, all of this, you know, and the inside jokes and whatnot, is that, you know, we sort of bypassed, and that was my fault, you know, talking about the Laughlin Conference, because that is each year the first UFO conference of the year on the circuit. And this past year you were out there and did a lot of interviews, and you had your chance, I'm told, to meet Paul McGovern.
Well, yeah, we're still in contact with Rick Doty, and Rick was out there, and Rick brought somebody over, who I guess I'm supposed to assume was Paul McGovern. I was busy doing an interview at the time.
Right.
And James Smith was the engineer, and James really wasn't able to find out much information.
Right.
And the whole point is that a lot of these sources quoted, it's debatable whether they really use, if the names are the real names.
Right, or the real people.
Right, and whether or not they really existed or not. And that's one thing that you always have trouble with. And our job, really, the way I see it, is to do the best we can as far as presenting the truth as we know it. But after all, we're not telling the stories, our guests are.
That's right. We're just presenting the material.
Now, we do some investigative pieces, and we do stand behind those completely. But, you know, when you have somebody on the show, did Johnny Carson have to vouch for everybody that was on The Tonight Show? I doubt it.
If he did, he would be in big trouble real quick. But they were good shows.
Right, and that's our first and foremost job. A lot of people wonder what we're here to present good programming and good radio shows, and we like to do the truth. We don't make up fairy tales,
right?
At least not on purpose. Maybe if we get fooled, we're not the only one at the time.
Right. And often, it's certainly true, if we get fooled, you can probably go to any other radio show out there, whether it's internet or broadcast, that covers the subject, and they're probably getting fooled too, so we're not the only ones. And one thing that I can assure all of our listeners is that, and you can find this in our policy and procedures document that we have, there's a link to it, little small link down at the bottom of the home page, and it in there states that if we can determine, either by evidence presented to us by others and that can be corroborated, that a story is false or is a hoax, then we will remove the material from our site. And some people have said, well, we think that Serpo is a hoax, and my comment on that is, show me the goods, show me the proof that it's a hoax. Haven't had any takers yet.
Well, we're out here presenting the cutting edge of what is happening as far as the latest in ufology. And sometimes we get bum raps, but usually, if you look over our history, we're pretty proud of what we've done.
Right. Well, let's talk about a few other things that we've done this year. Some interesting guests that we've had on that I wanted to highlight is that we had a young lady from Canada who interviewed with us about some videos that she had taken of UFOs and actually some images of ETs. And she's written a book about her encounters with ETs. And that was Paula Thornycroft.
And that was a good show. And she actually,
right.
It's the first time I know of somebody actually getting video of the people coming to kidnap them.
Right.
Or ETs coming to kidnap them. I really use the term people interchangeable of ETs, whether that's correct or not, I'm not sure. I think one time he called me on the carpet for referring to a female ET as a woman. But I mean, I just really don't think of them as any different than entities just like us, and I guess that's my liberal bias.
Well, you know, you can't really call them.
We've had this discussion.
Can't call them human, but you can certainly call them sentient beings, which we are in that class. And you know, whether you call them a, I would call them a female instead of a woman. But
well, I try.
Whatever your taste.
Politically correct.
Another show that we did, which isn't exactly disclosure.
Well, says he made love to one of them, and I think he said she was quite a woman. No, I'm kidding. But then you read the Grays, the book, The Grays, to know what I'm talking about.
Right. It is a true story, according to Whitley, yes. And we had another show, which was quite interesting, I thought, and it has a product associated with it, which we have for sale on our shopping site, and that is the program on Star Dreams, which was about crop circles, in which you interviewed the producer, director, Robert Nickel, and another Canadian, incidentally. A lot of people from Canada involved in disclosure and exopolitics.
It's a cold weather.
Right. Yeah. And I'll give you a good example. That's a good lead in to talk about cold weather in Canada, and that's Brian Vike. Now, you know.
I know you and I are on the same wavelength.
And Brian had quite an experience here this past late fall, and in which he basically retired, quote, from ufology, and notice was given in several locations out on the internet of the fact that, you know, sorry folks, he's gone. And I said, you know, I know Brian is, you know, there's something going on here that people aren't picking up on. He was too invested in this and too active and too much involved and had a lot of enthusiasm for the subject. I said, you know, I just don't think that that's really what's going on. So I did some research and I found Brian. I mean, not that he had moved from his hometown up in Canada, the northern part of...
Well, he did change phone
number. Right, he changed his phone number, changed his email address, and his website.
So it wasn't easy to find, even though he had...
Right, but I did manage to get in touch with him and confirm the fact that, you know, he had gotten a little frustrated, as everybody does from time to time. Things, you know, were not going the way he wanted things to go, so he decided he needed a rest, and he does have, you know, some physical problems, as many of us do, unfortunately. He has a very bad problem with his back, and he was in a lot of pain, and he was trying to keep up a very harried schedule, and it would, you know, it's just sometimes you reach a point in your life and you say, I've had enough of this, I'm going to hang it up. And that's what he did for a couple of months, and but I'm happy to report that, you know, we knew this and announced it, I think over a month ago, the fact that he was coming back, he just needed a rest. And I'm happy to report that as of today, and I don't know, I think this the event may have happened yesterday or the day before. I doubt if it was before Christmas, but he does have his website back up and running again. And that's good news for everybody that wants to get some really great UFO reports.
And Brian's been able to get quite a few.
Right. And hope to have him on, our show here sometime over the next month or so at his convenience. He can fill us in on all of the new things that are happening up in Canada. Now, another person that made an interesting move, this involved a physical move, but he sort of disappeared from ufology for a few months.
You're talking about Peter Davenport, I bet.
Right. Peter moved from Seattle to an old U.S. Government ICBM missile silo in eastern Washington state. And I thought that was quite surprising. And of course, during this moving process, which took about 3 or 4 months, his site was up all of the time, but it had no updates on it for many months. And a lot of people use that as a source of information in preparing their own reports. Given an example is Filer's report, which we use. So things got a little slim there for a while because new reports were not being posted on Peter's site. As of November, first of November, his site, he was resuming updates, new reports being generated, and that's good news for everybody.
One of the things about disclosure in 2006, and you may have it on your notes there, is what happened down in Brazil.
We did have quite a big announcement. Now, you know, this was...
Well, we had, originally, it was right after the UFO Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The generals were going to make an announcement, and they did in March or April. And basically, they revealed quite a lot officially on three cases.
Right.
I think you and I, and maybe a few people familiar that live with this every day, were a little disappointed. But I mentioned over Christmas, we were showing the Fastwalkers DVD to my crowd. Since I'm in it.
Right.
And we started talking about what happened down in Brazil.
Right.
And all these people who are not UFO people, just my relatives, basically, cousins, daughters, granddaughters, et cetera, et cetera. They all had their mouth open when we started talking about some of these things that happened down there that the Brazilian armed forces have backed up and said did happen.
That's right. And I think, one of the most exciting, dramatic, unbelievable almost stories that were verified by the generals was the event that occurred back in the 1970s, where there was literally what they called a UFO invasion in the Amazon Delta area.
Yeah, it was the only report that I know of where UFOs actually attacked human beings.
Right. I mean, they were zapping them with laser-like beams and, burning people. There were reports of human abductions and mutilations. I mean, they didn't just take people away. They mutilated the bodies just like in a cattle mutilation. And that's a fairly unique occurrence. So these ETs, whichever species they were, or maybe they were a species that we deal with commonly, but what you would call a rogue group of them, sort of went on the rampage and showed that they can be aggressive just like human beings.
And I think that's one of the things that, we're talking looking forward as well as backward. In 2007, I I just have a hunch, and I have no evidence for this, but I think we're going to find some more stories about, oh, I guess, for lack of a better way, the nefarious side of ETs and UFOs.
Right.
I think it's not all goody two-shoes stuff.
No, I never have, and we've talked about that on the show a number of times. Is I think that we're dealing with a lot of different species of extraterrestrials visiting this planet.
Well, Wendell Stevens told me on this premiere movie show we did, A Fast Walkers, he was up that show low, and he says on that show to me that he has experience in researching 100 different species.
Right. And, you know, I've heard various numbers. I mean, you know, anywhere from
50 or 60.
30, 50, 80.
But Wendell says it's 100, and he's been at it longer than most.
Right.
So I'll take him at his word. But I think I asked him basically what the ratio was, and he couldn't give it to me. But the bad experiences have been in the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But they're there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that, you know, ETs, you know, just because they're from someplace else other than this planet, you know, their behaviors can be, unfortunately, all too human sometimes. And there are people, you know, amongst these species who have only the best of intentions. They're here for research. You know, they're studying us, they're studying the planet. Other species appear to want to make use of our resources, some in a benign way, like, oh, you're not going to miss a little bit of this and a little bit of that, because how many of us are here taking things? Not very many. And then there can be others who might want to use resources in a much more exploitive way.
I don't know about I don't think there was a Phoenix Lights event or anything that this year.
Not anything major of that, you know, of that magnitude, no. There's a couple other, one other thing that I want to mention here in terms of what we've done over the past year and interesting stories we've covered. And one of them was our coverage of the Fatima UFO event that occurred back in 1917 in Portugal. At least we're calling it a UFO event. Other people in the Catholic Church tend to look at it as a miraculous appearance of the Virgin Mary. But we did do a show in which we had a professor on from Portugal, and it was a quite interesting show involving a translation back and forth from English to Portuguese, and we even have a full Portuguese version of the show.
Yes, we do, and that's another interesting show people should listen to.
And then just to close things off, this coming year, 2007, is going to be the 60th anniversary of the Roswell event. And, of course, this past year, you were at Roswell and did your...
Yeah, we've been there for 4 years, straight years, and we recorded quite a lot of material over the last couple of years that we haven't put on the air yet. And it's being packaged in such a way, one episode's already up, in which we're going to do about every other week a show right up through the 4th of July, which is a 60th anniversary.
Right. So there's going to be a lot of material on our site. We have a Roswell 60th anniversary section, and on there, as Jerry said, there's going to be a lot of different shows, you know, that... Basically, you know, people that Jerry has interviewed at past conferences, or not conferences, it's the festival.
Yeah, events that we've done the shows, and we're going to do the shows from Roswell again this year. Clifford Stone is our next show, come out sometime in the first part of January.
Right.
And he was a Master Sergeant in the Army. and has some unusual extraterrestrial contact stories.
Right.
And by the way, Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan, just before Christmas, they went to Roswell and taped a video interview with Stone, and that will be posted probably in February.
Right.
And or early March, one of the two, and it'll be a companion piece to the one we do here in a couple of weeks.
Right. Now, interesting point is that most people interested in UFOs have heard of the Roswell Festival held every year in New Mexico, but New Mexico also has another great UFO conference, and this coming year is going to be their 10th anniversary.
Yeah, they at Aztec, and we had a show that we taped, not in Aztec, but we taped two different places. We taped it in Laughlin and also Eureka Springs at UFO conferences with the number one man, pretty well acknowledged, who knows everything there is to know about the Aztec crash.
Right.
And the UFO Armada, the Armada that flew over Farmington. 50 or 60 or 70 craft. And it was written up in the paper, the pictures were there and everything.
Right.
And that's Scott Ramsey and his wife Suzanne, who was a reporter on a radio station in Farmington right outside Aztec, and Scott went in there to promote the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And true love happened right there on the air. So watch out, Dickon.
No comment.
So that show will be up here in a couple of weeks, too, and Katie... It really does a good job with Aztec, with the library there, and she'll keep us informed.
Right.
And maybe we can really make it out there. We've never made that conference simply because there's so many of them going on right there in a row.
You know, I think that pretty well covers it, you know, for 2006, and we're going to close the show out here with some sightings.
Well, we have a good fast 15 minutes of sightings. Does Rick Tropman have anything for us? A Tropman? I don't like calling him Tropman. You're the one who called him Tropman once, and ever since then I have a mental block about that. He started doing this in 2006, the Rick's Picks.
Right.
And he's come up with some good ones.
Right. Well, and he's even got his own column in UFO Magazine now. Which was something actually that was missing out of a UFO magazine. You figure somebody would have a few sightings to talk about. And actually they did a number of years ago have a column of that nature. Well, now they have one again. And Rick is providing that input. So we do have a Rick's Pick for this week. Reported on February the 6th, 2001, and it's a sighting from the island of Bermuda. So even out there in the middle of the Atlantic, the UFOs are running around. Of course, you know, this is the far end of the Bermuda Triangle as well, and a lot of people say there's a lot of underwater UFO activity there.
Yeah, we had someone, I don't think they were on the air, I think it's just you and I talking about it, about the fog over the ocean, and all of a sudden this huge black triangle shows up.
Right.
When you're in the Bermuda Triangle.
I mean, that's one of the stories.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, here's the one we have from Rick tonight. The witness says, me and my wife were on our honeymoon. We stayed at the resort, The Reefs, in Southampton, Bermuda. The exact evening time, I'm not sure of. I would guess at around 9 o'clock. We sat down for dinner. This seating area is outdoors and sits about 3 stories high on a cliffside overlooking the beach, and the view is to the east. While having dinner, I began to observe an apparent helicopter out on the horizon of the ocean with two very intense, brilliant searchlights sweeping the water. I began to notice the other diners pulling out cameras and mumbling to one another about this and taking many pictures. We finished eating and said goodnight to some friends and then headed for our room. All the while, we were noticing that the helicopter, in quotes, was slowly working its way towards shore and towards us. Now, the layout of the resort is important. It is in the shape of a J inside of a cove next to the ocean, with the long part of the J jutting out on a jetty into the middle of the cove, which is where our room was. There is a break in between the building which allows you to get to the beach. We were right at this area, about 30 feet from the water, when all of a sudden we were lit up like Richard Dreyfuss in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I noted to my wife, there is the helicopter. By this time, it was less than 75 feet in the air and no more than 100 feet away. In a matter of a few seconds, I observed the 2 feet in diameter spotlight. In other words, he estimated the diameter of this light. The cross section was 2 feet across. This spotlight that had been white turned red as it began to fade out. As it is fading out, I see that the red color is the filament in the center of the light, and there is a flame coming off of it. Unusual. At the same time, I notice a gas orifice pulling away from the back of the light, and both the light and the gas line are retracting into the bottom of the craft. Also, small lights are now appearing around the helicopter. So I thought. With absolute excitement, I now realize that I'm looking at a 30-foot diameter flying saucer, or disc-shaped craft. It is so close I could hit it with a coffee cup. As I turn to my wife, she is already gone, running scared and screaming for me to get away. I, of course, say, no way. I stayed right there. I observe now that this craft had rectangular windows around its perimeter, and also that everyone having dinner above us on the cliff is taking pictures, like we were at a rock concert. Some people were screaming. You can imagine that scene, Jerry. People's taking pictures of flashes going off and women screaming. Maybe a few men screaming, too. I now notice that the reason that they are all screaming and taking pictures is because there are three ETs, extraterrestrials, near the windows. There were two to the right side of the saucer, and they were waving hello to the other people having dinner. And then to top it all off, I noticed that there was one of them looking straight at me. I now know what it means to have your hair stand up on the back of your neck. It was the most fearful thing I had ever felt in my life. They were the Greys, without a doubt. After about 1 minute, without any noise, it began to head over towards the ocean. At about 150 yards out, you could hear jets coming. Jets showing up to chase the UFO away. The British military began chasing them, and off they went, off the site. The next morning, just after 5 a.m., around sunrise, my wife shakes me awake. She says, I don't know how to say this, but they were just here. I guess she's referring to the ETs.
Yeah, the ETs.
Right. I asked, who?
Or the British Air Force.
Right. They tromped into the room, too, following the ETs. She tells me that someone just laid her down on the bed. Mm-hmm.
Well, it might have been the British Air Force.
Oh, right. When she opened her eyes, there at the foot of the bed was an ET standing there. It raised one hand and waved. Now, you know that this UFO with the ETs on it must have been vacationing in Bermuda. How else can you explain this kind of behavior, all this waving and looking at people and whatnot? I guess we were the natives on display.
We were the animals in the zoo.
Right. So, at any rate, the ET raised one hand and waved, and then leapt right out of the balcony door about 10 feet while never touching the rail. I noted also that I was under the covers and she was on top of them. That day on the beach, people said that we should have been there for the night before. They informed us that there was a dozen flying saucers buzzing the island, and he'd only seen one. Quite a story, huh?
Well, yes. I'm speechless, Rick. It comes up with some good ones.
Yes, he does. I don't know where he finds these things, but they're usually pretty exciting.
Well, let's do some filer sightings here so we can say, you know, live up to our title.
Right.
A sighting show.
Okay. We have some reports here from George Filer. You know, this was issued right after Christmas, I think. No, actually right before Christmas. Take that back, on the 20th. So this is George's Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody. And here are some of the sightings. We have a report from El Dorado, Arkansas. On December 3rd, 2006, at 10 p.m., I saw a white light with fast movement that burst into colors, then darkened, and then returned to white for over 20 minutes on video. Well, that's a long video sighting, that's for sure, 20 minutes. I never have seen anything like it or heard anything like it. It was back again tonight. It says the only thing I can put as similar is a fireworks show. But the void that was there for a few seconds was weird. That leaves, let's just put it this way. You know, it really didn't look like fireworks. It was something close to that. But, you know, on December 3rd at 10 o'clock at night, who would be shooting off a lot of fireworks?
It's intimating to me that these were not silent craft.
I don't know. He doesn't mention anything about noise.
I mean, well, the way he said it, I've seen and heard.
Couldn't really say what he heard because he didn't describe it. So, we have a report from California. This is from Walnut Creek.
Up in the Bay Area, East Bay.
Right. I was driving north on Highway 680 through Walnut Creek, and I saw in the northwest sky on December the 5th a hovering saucer-shaped craft with a dome on top. The saucer had rotating red, yellow, and possibly green lights circling the bottom of the craft. They moved in a counterclockwise direction. It was hovering at 9:50 p.m. with small red stationary lights at the top of the dome. I couldn't see the object, but the silhouette was well defined. I had to exit the freeway after that, and I couldn't see it anymore. And we have a report here from this is something that we covered on, I think, on the prior show, and this is sort of an update. I don't know for sure it was on the prior show. If it wasn't that, it was on the one just before that. It wasn't too long ago. But if you'll recall, there was a sighting of a disc-shaped craft over Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back on November the 7th. And this is an update on that report, another eyewitness, I believe. So that was a quite interesting report to begin with, so I think it's worth the time to talk about it again. Peter Davenport reports, quote, a taxi mechanic has added more information to the November 7th, 2006 sighting after being interviewed at length. Investigators were highly impressed with the witness's credentials and with his accurate description of the event. He states, I work for a major airline at O'Hare International Airport. I am a taxi mechanic. I have the job responsibility of moving aircraft under their own power from gate to gate or to the hangar complex. Around 16:30 or 4:30 in the afternoon, a pilot made a comment on the radio about a circle or disc-shaped object hovering over gate C-17 at the C Concourse in Chicago. At first we laughed to each other, and then the same pilot said again on the radio that it was about 700 feet above ground level. The day was overcast with a 1,600-foot cloud ceiling. I was taxiing a Boeing 777 from the terminal to the company hangar, and as we passed C Terminal on the Alpha taxiway, we observed a dark gray, hazy, round object hovering over C Terminal and holding very steady and near the cloud cover. The radio interrupted with chatter about the object, and the air traffic control controller that was handling ground traffic made a smart comment, or a few smart comments, about the alleged UFO sighting. We had to continue moving the aircraft to the hangar. After parking, I noticed the craft was no longer there, the UFO, but there was an almost perfect circle in the cloud layer where the craft had been. The hole disappeared a few minutes later. For the rest of the night, there were jokes made about the sighting on the radio. I'm still in absolute wonder and amazement. Now, this hole that he's referring to was in the prior report, where other witnesses, and these were airline personnel, observed the craft to take off at great speed up through the cloud layer, and as it did so, it created this circle in the cloud itself, leaving a trail behind, so to speak.
Well, our time's about up. I guess it's a good way to end the show. And I don't know if my dog's barking will make the air or not. We turned the microphone off, but
make note of the fact that that Buster is saying Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Somebody had the audacity to walk past our studio. Outside, I mean. Well, I hope you do have a Happy New Year, and we're going to have a great 2007, I'm sure. So, watch out for those flying saucers.
Okay, Jerry. In 2007, we'll certainly be keeping our eyes to the skies.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
I'm a spaceman, and I just got in from space, a spaceman. I'm looking for the human race, a spaceman. I heard a whisper, it was here, I'm a spaceman.